The cross above its center was a bit unusual, but otherwise the gate was a typical example of its type. A Western commonplace which was not useful, but traditional. All the little towns he had come to in the last 10 months seemed to have one such where you came in, grand, and one more such where you went out, not so grand. None had been built to exclude visitors, certainly not this one. It stood between two walls of pink adobe that ran into the scree for a distance of about 20 feet on either side of the road, and then simply stopped. Close the gate, lock it with many locks, and all that meant was a short walk around one bit of adobe wall or the other. Beyond the gate, Roland could see what looked in most respects like a perfectly ordinary high street. An inn, two saloons, one of which was called the Bustling Pig, the sign over the other was too faded to read, a mercantile, a smithy, a gathering hall. There was also a small but rather lovely wooden building, with a modest bell tower on top, a sturdy fieldstone foundation on bottom, and a gold-painted cross on its double doors. The cross, like the one over the gate, marked this as a worshipping place for those who held to the Jesus man. This wasn't a common religion in Midworld, but far from unknown. That same thing could have been said about most forms of worship in those days, including the worship of Baal, Asmodeus, and 100 others. Faith, like everything else in the world these days, had moved on. As far as Roland was concerned, God of the Cross was just another religion which taught that love and murder were inextricably bound together, that in the end, God always drank blood. Meanwhile, there was the singing hum of insects which sounded almost like crickets, the dreamlike tinkle of the bells, and that queer wooden thumping, like a fist on a door, or on a coffin top. Something here's a long way from right, the gunslinger thought. Where, Roland? This place has a reddish odor. He led Topsy through the gate with its adornments of dead flowers and down the high street. On the porch of the mercantile, where the old men should have congregated to discuss crops, politics, and the follies of the younger generation, there stood only a line of empty rockers. Lying beneath one, as if dropped from a careless and long-departed hand, was a charred corncob pipe. The hitching rack in front of the Bustling Pig stood empty, the windows of the saloon itself were dark. One of the batwing doors had been yanked off and stood propped against the side of the building, the other hung ajar, its faded green slats splattered with maroon stuff that might have been paint, but probably wasn't. The shop front of the livery stable stood intact, like the face of a ruined woman who has access to good cosmetics. But the double barn behind it was a charred skeleton. That fire must have happened on a rainy day, the gunslinger thought, or the whole damned town would have gone up in flames. A jolly spin and raree for anyone around to see it. To his right now, halfway up to where the street opened into the town square, was the church. There were grassy borders on both sides, one separating the church from the town's gathering hall, the other from the little house set aside for the preacher and his family. If this was one of the Jesus sects which allowed its shamans to have wives and families, that was. Some of them, clearly administered by lunatics, demanded at least the appearance of celibacy. There were flowers in these grassy strips, and while they looked parched, most were still alive. So whatever had happened here to empty the place out had not happened long ago. A week, perhaps, two at the outside, given the heat. Topsy sneezed again, ka-chow, and lowered his head wearily. The gunslinger saw the source of the tinkling. Above the cross on the church doors, a cord had been strung in a long, shallow arc. Hung from it were perhaps 2 dozen tiny silver bells. There was hardly any breeze today, but enough so these smalls were never quite still. And if a real wind should rise, Roland thought, the sound made by the tintinnabulation of the bells would probably be a good deal less pleasant, more like the strident parley of gossip's tongues. Hello, Roland called, looking across the street at what a large false-fronted sign proclaimed to be the Good Beds Hotel.